Thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are in a series with Pastor Todd McIntyre on the purpose of marriage. Let's listen in as he defines the biblical purpose of marriage and the roles of a husband and wife.
I want to thank you for joining us on the Men's Summit podcast. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you would just take a moment and give feedback and share it with your friends. You know, we created this podcast to help men become more like Christ because we know when men display Jesus in their home, the whole family gets closer to Christ. Right now, we are in a series talking about marriage, and we've talked a lot about the purpose of marriage and how God uses marriage to make us more like Christ. And today we're finally going to get into the most famous chapter on marriage, and that is Ephesians 5. And typically when people share about marriage in Ephesians, they usually start in verse 22, because that's the verse that's usually titled in most Bible translations as marriage, or husband and wife, or maybe it's instructions on Christian household living. And it's rare to read a book on marriage or hear a message on marriage that will actually give you the context of the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Now, if you truly study the book of Ephesians, you see that Paul spends most of the first part of the book explaining what a new life in Christ looks like. And then he spends the rest of the book teaching the Ephesians on being obedient to live your life as Christ lived his life. In fact, the first two verses in Ephesians 5 is very interesting because if you think about the context that we've given you or the purpose we've given you on marriage, and that is to be Christ-like, when you start off Ephesians 5, it's very interesting because this is what the first two verses say. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling aroma." So Paul starts off on the marriage chapter. The first two verses is talking about being imitators of God. He then spends the rest of the chapters talking to us as believers to live holy lives, to walk in the light, have no hidden sins, to walk in wisdom, and understand the will of the Lord. And finally, in this context, he talks about marriage. And so I want to start off not in verse 22, but I want to start off in verse 21. I'm going to read to you the rest of that chapter, and then we're going to talk about what I'm excited to talk about today, and that is communication between a husband and a wife. So here's what it says. In Ephesians 5, 21 through 31, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, for we are members of his body." Guys, there's so much meat here we could dissect. And we could talk about this passage for weeks. But today I want to give you another Frank Seekins talk. If you've been listening to these episodes, if you've been following this marriage series, you heard me say a couple weeks ago that my first marriage coach, my first marriage counselor was a guy named Frank Seekins. And he was a guy who helped me understand what it means to be a husband and what it means to really understand what the Bible says about being a husband and a wife. And one of the first teachings he taught me was how men and women communicate completely differently. See, one thing you got to know about Frank Seekins is he's a linguist. In other words, he knows a lot of languages. He knows how to speak a lot of languages. He studies a lot of languages. And it was kind of his job to learn languages and to study them and to teach people about them. And he told me in his seventh year of his marriage, as he was a researcher and he had done a lot of research projects, God told him to quit his job and spend 1 year studying his wife and how his wife communicates. It was pretty interesting. And why was it so interesting was because Frank and his wife had a horrible marriage. In fact, I listened to Frank's wife, Sally. She said one day to us, she said, I had so much hate in my heart towards Frank, and I knew I couldn't divorce him because God would be mad at me, but I thought I could kill him and nobody would know it. And she said, I would actually have thought about killing my husband. I was so angry. I was so frustrated. Our marriage was so bad that I didn't know what to do. Now, you got to know, I met them, you know, 20, 30 years later after they had gone through their seventh year of marriage, and they had a great marriage. And what was interesting and what was so impactful to me was that you could have a marriage that was this bad and it could turn and become this good. So I want to just encourage you guys, no matter how bad your marriage is right now, there's hope. Because with God, there's always hope. But in that seventh year of his marriage, Frank took a year and followed his wife wherever she went. And at the end of the year, he took all of his notes and all of his diagrams that he created and all the things that he did, and he asked God to help him figure out what he was trying to teach him. And what God shared with Frank in that seventh year was that men and women actually speak a different language. When he said this to me, it was interesting to me because I've always thought my wife and I speak the same language. And he said, there's things that I say to my wife and the reasons I say things to my wife that she cannot understand. And there's things that she says to me and the reasons she says it to me that I can't understand. And so what he did is he took one part of Ephesians 5, and that's verse 33, and he dissected communication out of this verse. In fact, I'm going to read it to you again. It's in Isaiah. It's Ephesians 5:33. It says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." You know, it's an interesting command here. Love your wife. Like, you would think, why would God have to command us to do something that should come naturally? Well, the reason he has to command us to do something like love is because love doesn't come natural. Guys, for you, love doesn't come natural. For women, respect doesn't come natural. And it's interesting that God calls us to love, commands us to love. And I really believe that love is a skill that we have to develop. Love is a skill that we have to train ourselves in. Because it doesn't come natural for us, and because we don't understand it, we come from an aspect of respect. God never tells us to respect our wives because really, guys, the way you and I communicate to one another is not necessarily out of love, but it's out of respect. The way women communicate with men is not necessarily out of respect, but it's out of love. And so I want to talk to you about really the dynamics of communication between men and women and how your wife is actually speaking a different language to you and to help you understand how to understand her. In fact, what Frank said was, with women, and he drew a diagram, and I'm just going to try to explain the diagram to you. He said, with women, every relationship they have is a circle. They are either in the middle of the circle or they're kicked out of the circle. He said, when two girls get together, 10-year-old girls get together, they can spend the whole day together. But if you put a third girl in the middle of that relationship, someone throughout the day, one of the three girls will be kicked out of that relationship. And girls understand this and they feel this. And because it feels so terrible to them when they're kicked out of the relationship, they lose their power, they lose their strength, they lose their confidence. And for women, all of communication is centered around, am I in your circle or are you kicking me out of the circle? You know, you can see this in just our culture, you know, gossip magazines or gossip TV shows. Most of the time, and I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time, women are the people who buy these magazines or watch these shows. And what's going on in these shows is we're seeing famous people. And we're getting to get into their lives, we get to get into their circle, and we get to see who they are and what they do and where they live. And for some odd reason, because it's odd to me because I'm a man, women actually feel connected to these people because they know what's going on in the inside of their lives. They have the backstage pass, if you will, to their lives. They feel connected. Now, obviously, being a husband and a wife thought when she married you that she was going to know everything about you, that you were going to bring her into all of your thoughts. You were going to bring her into all the things that you thought about throughout the day or did throughout the day, that she was going to be a part of your life from the inside out. And when a woman feels like you're kicking her out or you're not sharing your thoughts, you're not sharing what's going on in your life, she feels completely, in our terms, disrespected, and in her terms, unloved. Completely not connected. Women, the worst thing we can do to a woman is not share what's going on in our lives and not let her in on our decision making and not let her in on the things that we're doing. Now, for men, guys, we're not that way at all. We don't care about circles. In fact, we don't even understand circles. In fact, if you gave me three guys in my house when I was a kid, we didn't think someone was going to be left out. We just made a team. We went and competed with one another. We played basketball. We went and played baseball. We tried to find more guys to get with so we could have a bigger team. And we wanted to have as many guys around as possible because we were always trying to figure out who was the best. And that's really what it is for us guys. For us, the diagram that Frank drew for me wasn't a circle for men, it was a ladder. And I think you guys will get this. We either feel like we're on top of the ladder or we feel like we're on the bottom of the ladder. When we feel like we're on top of the ladder, we feel completely respected. We feel like everyone likes us. We feel connected. When we feel on the bottom of the ladder, we don't feel connected. We don't feel respected. And we hate that feeling. I can tell you when I drove a pretty clunker car for a long time, and when I would drive up to a nicer car, I would feel less than because I thought that guy's car was nicer than my car. And somewhere on my ladder, I thought if you have a nice car, you're more respected than a guy with a not so nice car. Or when I was playing sports when I was younger, if I started on the team or if I didn't start on the team, it defined my identity with my friends. I was either cool or wasn't cool based on where I was on this ladder. In fact, what's funny is most guys, when we first meet a guy, the first thing we ask guys is, what do you do? We're asking them what they do because we're trying to kind of measure or size them up. What do you do? Now, if they do a job that we don't think is respectable, we might look at them differently than if they did a job that we thought was really cool. For me, if I met Jason Witten or Tony Romo being in Dallas, I would love to hang out with those guys because they played for the Dallas Cowboys, who is America's team, by the way. And they are someone that I would respect because they've done things I've never could do and I would really like to do. But if I met another guy who maybe had a job that wasn't so cool, I might not think the same way about those guys. And it's all about ladders. Now, here's the crazy part of the whole thing. Women are about circles, men are about ladders. And you got to get this, guys. This is going to help you. When a woman feels kicked out of the circle, when she feels like you're not connecting with her, when she feels like you're not making decisions with her, when she feels like you're not talking to her about the thoughts that you're having in your life, and she feels kicked out, the way she gets back into relationship with other women, the way they relate to one another, is they disrespect the other woman, and the other woman understanding and not caring about respect or disrespect, she cares about love, she doesn't hear disrespect, she hears that girl feels unloved, and if she's close to that girl, she's gonna stop, she's not gonna hear what she said to her that was disrespectful, and she's gonna say, well, honey, what's wrong? Why are you upset? Why are you frustrated? And then that woman's going to probably cry and tell her she feels left out or she feels like you don't like me or she doesn't feel like she meets your standards or whatever. And they're going to hug and embrace. And all of a sudden, what was felt like I was kicked out of the circle, that other woman's going to bring her right back into the circle and their relationship's going to be tight again. But what's interesting for men, when we get disrespected, we don't stop and think, why is she disrespecting me? We get angry. In fact, when we get disrespected, we're going to do one or two things. We're either going to fight or we're going to flee. And many of us guys, when we feel disrespected by other men, we have just disconnected ourselves from those men and we don't care. I know I've got men in my life. If I never see them again, I'm going to be okay because they were so disrespectful in the way they treated me. I don't want to hang out with them anymore. And so I've separated myself from them. Or when I was younger, I would literally have fist fights with them and get in fights with them because they disrespected me and I disrespected them. And we're going to meet on the playground and we're going to settle this as men. Here's the reality. In a marriage that doesn't work, a wife's not a man and you're not a woman. And because you speak a different language and she speaks a different language, when she disrespects you, what she's really saying is, I don't feel loved. But you don't hear this. You don't hear, I don't feel loved. You hear disrespect. And so what you do is you push her away. And what that makes her feel when you push her away and you're not talking to her and you isolate yourself and you go take your time out or whatever you need to do, when you push her away, she feels more kicked out of your circle. She feels more frustrated, more disconnected. And so she disrespects you more and more because what she's trying to say to you in her language is, I need to feel loved. And I don't feel loved. And you're going, what in the world? Why are you keep disrespecting me? Why are you doing this? And the more you do this, the more I want to push you away. And if you can see how we're trying to tell her, you're disrespecting me, I'm not feeling loved by you, so I'm going to push away. We end up going the opposite direction, trying to get to the same results because we don't communicate the same. And that's a problem. It's probably one of the biggest problems in marriage. You know, Frank told me the biggest reason why most Christians are getting a divorce isn't because they don't love God. It's because they don't know how to communicate. You know, with so many Christian marriages ending in divorce, we've got a huge problem. And if we understood how to communicate with one another, I think we could figure this thing out better and many of us would be able to save our marriages. And then what he did is he drew me another diagram. Now you got to imagine this diagram because you can't see it. But from the left side of the diagram, there's three boxes. The first box is mind. The middle box is will, and the last box is emotions. And right underneath mind, he wrote the word issues. Our mind deals with the issues of life. Under the word will, he wrote the word choices. Our will deals with the way we're going to make a choice about the issues in life. And the emotion underneath that, he wrote the word relationships. And he said this. He said, for men, we always go from issue to choice, then relationship. I can tell you when I have a problem with my truck and I need to get my oil changed. There's an issue in my heart knowing that every time I get in my truck, I need to get the oil changed and I feel this dissonance. And so I know the issue and finally I make a choice to go get the oil changed. And after I change the oil and get it all done, I get back in my truck and I feel the relationship back with my truck. I know it sounds weird, but it's true. I have relationship with my truck. I have a relationship with everything in my life. But when things are broken, I feel like I can't have a good relationship until they're fixed. You know, when I was getting, my issue was getting married. I spent a lot of months dating my wife. I wanted to know if she was good looking enough. I wanted to know if she had a good personality. I wanted to know if we could be friends. I wanted to know if I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And finally, after about 9 months of dating her, I asked her dad if I could marry her. And I took her on a fancy trip to San Diego with my parents and went out by ourselves and went on a 3-hour cruise and I asked her to marry me. Now, right after I asked her to marry me, she flipped the whole thing around. See, for women, it's not fix the issue, make a decision and have relationship. For women, it's, does he like me? Do we have a good relationship? Does he care about me? Does he really want to be or spend his time with me? Does he love me? If he loves me, I'll make the choice to deal with the issues. Now you think about this. We dated for 9 months. We were engaged for about 5 months. It was during that time, those 5 months, when I felt finished. I knew I was going to marry her. I had already finished thinking about marrying Debbie. She already said yes, so I was done. But for her, it just began because our relationship was now at a point where she felt connected and wanting to get married. She made a choice now to do all the wedding planning that needed to be done for our wedding. In fact, I hate to say this, but I did nothing to plan our wedding. I didn't care what the colors were. I didn't care who the DJ was. I didn't care what the cake tastes like. I didn't care what kind of food we had. The only thing I thought about was where are we going to go on our honeymoon and when can I have sex? That's all I cared about because I was finished. But for Debbie, we were just starting. And so what happened was the last week before we're getting married, I come home from Omaha. I was in Omaha. I was a youth pastor out there. I come back to Phoenix to spend time. What I told her was with her, but really I was spending time with my friends because I knew it was the last week I was going to be single. And I spent so much time with my friends and very little time connecting to my wife or my girlfriend at the time during that last week that on the Friday before we're going to get married, we have this knockdown drag out and she's ready to just call the whole thing off. And I asked the most stupidest question I can ask. What's the problem? What's the issue we need to fix? So she not understanding how to communicate with me, she starts telling me the car's not washed and we need to get some things out of the dry cleaners and we got to get these things done. And I'm thinking I can fix those problems in a heartbeat. But the reality was when I fixed the problem, she still wasn't happy. Because what her real problem was is she felt kicked out of my circle. She didn't feel like she was connected to me. She didn't feel like I was bringing her into our lives together. I came home for a week to spend time with her, and I spent all my time with my friends and didn't connect with her at all. Because for women, if they don't feel like you care about them, they will sabotage everything that's going on in the relationship. You know, I've had people in my office who are asking for marriage counseling or coaching. And the wife knowing that finances is the problem, is going out to the mall and spending money on their credit card, knowing that it's destroying their finances even more. And the husband sitting on the couch going, she's crazy. She knows this is wrong. And you can see in her face that she knows it's wrong, but she doesn't care. Because this is what a woman does when she sabotages the relationship. This is what she's speaking. This is her communication. If you don't like me, I'm going to make your life miserable until you do like me. And it sounds crazy because that's not how we communicate, but that's how women communicate. They will literally disrespect you to communicate to you, I don't feel loved. I don't feel cared for. And what we do, because we're foolish men, is we're going about trying to fix the problem, fix the problem, fix the problem. When in reality, God says, fix the relationship. Don't worry about the problem. Tell her how much you love her. Tell her how much you care about her. Tell her how much you're willing to do for her. Tell her what's going on in your life. When the relationship gets fixed, here's what's amazing. Your wife will start working on the issues that you have in your marriage. If she thinks you love her, she'll work on the issues. If she doesn't think you love her, she'll sabotage the issues. I said, I know it sounds crazy. They speak a different language. And guys, I'm telling you right now, if you can figure this out, it will help you. Now, where do we find this in the Bible? Matthew 6:33, Jesus makes a statement. He says, don't worry about all the things that the world worries about. Clothes and houses and stuff. Don't worry about all that stuff. He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, I'll take care of all your stuff. In other words, he says this, if you'll care about our relationship, I'll fix the issues of your life. If you care about coming after me and spending time with me and connecting with me, son, then I'll help you with your lust issues. I'll help you with your anger issues. I'll help you with your insecurity issues. I'll help you with your fear. I'll help you with your finances. I'll help you with your home. I'll help you with all the issues you have in your life, but you've got to come after me first. God demands in our relationship with him that we care more about the relationship with him than being religious. In fact, he doesn't care so much about what we do as much as he cares about being connected to us. And I'm going to tell you who is the same exact type person, your wife. If you don't care about connecting with her, if you don't care about spending time with her, if you don't care about taking her on dates and talking to her about your thoughts and talking to her about what's going on in your life, and if you have fear when you walk into her, into that relationship, into that communication time, if you are afraid of her, what that's going to do, it's going to cause her to disrespect you more and more and more, and you're going to have this vicious cycle that's going to be hard to get out. And the only one that can stop this cycle is you. How do you do it? You go love your wife. Don't worry about all the stuff that's going on in your marriage. Don't talk about the finances. Don't talk about the issues. In fact, Frank used to say to me, go on a trip. Go spend time together. Just go play with one another. Go play cards together. My wife and I, we go to Starbucks and play cards against one another a lot because during that time, she feels like I care about her because a man will play with who he likes. And so when I'm playing with my wife, she feels connected. When we go to movies together, she feels connected. When we go to dinner together, she feels connected. When I share my heart and what I'm thinking and what God's doing in my life, she feels connected. When I do those things, my wife can't wait to help me fix my issues, whether it's the house, whether it's the kids, whether it's the finances. She wants to be a team. She wants to do it together. But if she doesn't feel like we're a team, I promise you, my wife will disrespect me to the point that I don't even understand. Guys, we do not communicate the same way women communicate. And the faster you get this, the quicker you can understand this, the quicker you can solve a lot of issues you have in your relationship. But let me tell you what the biggest issue every one of us has in our marriage is our wives aren't sure that we love them. They know we love our work. They know we love our friends. They know we love our sports teams, but they're not sure we love them. And until they know that we love them, and this is a daily thing, we got to do this daily. Just like Jesus said, God said, the manna is only good for today. You can't store it up for tomorrow. You can't store it up for the next day. You only get enough manna today. Every day, come and get your manna every day. In our relationship with our wives, every day we got to connect with them. Every day we got to spend time with them. Every day we got to let them know what's going on in our hearts. When we do that, our relationships flourish and our issues diminish. If we're not willing to do that, guys, if you're going to be stubborn and you're going to try to get her to communicate the way you communicate, good luck. It's going to be tough. And for every guy that I've talked to, every guy that I've coached, every guy that I've worked with that's got this one concept down, I saw their marriage improve drastically. And the guy that I saw this happen the most in was me. My wife and I have completely changed because I've gone after her relationally. We've been able to deal with a lot of hard issues in our lives. And I believe God wants the same for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you, Lord, for their marriages. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called them to be married to teach them how to be like you. And even in the concept of communication, a lot of us have come to you religiously, trying to do all the things you want us to do, trying to solve all the problems of our lives, the sin in our lives, thinking that if we would be good men, you would love us. But the reality is, you want us to come after you and just tell you that we love you, and you'll fix all those problems in our lives. God, we've got it reversed. And I know that, Jesus, you always went to God relationally before you went to him with issues. And so, Lord, I pray today that, God, you would use our marriage to teach us how to come to you relationally. Lord, that we would come to our wives relationally. We would come to you relationally. And Lord, it would teach us to be more like Jesus. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us wives to help us with this issue, that we want to be Christ-like men who love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you'd like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.